and welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jacqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Todd Pauly of 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Maggie. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And we are back with our leadership spotlight. Today, we're talking with Bonnie Shershow. She's with Bonnie's Jams. She's the founder of this women-owned business, and she's going to share the mindset that fuels success and uplifts fellow female entrepreneurs. So, Bonnie, we are so glad to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to these questions.
So as our viewers know, in July 2023, we did a special edition of Whole Foods Magazine where we shined a spotlight on entrepreneurs in the industry, leaders in the natural products industry. And we're happy to share Bonnie's story. You can check that out in the print and digital issue of July. But today we're going to dive in a little bit more. Bonnie, we're excited to talk to you about the company, about your leadership goals and your style and everything that's gone into the success of the brand. And I love your story. I know it already somewhat. But it started out in your kitchen and it started young. You know, as a child, you were kind of already having the seeds of this business. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Southern California in a really beautiful property. At that time, no one was focused on tennis and swimming pools. It was more orange trees and fruit trees and even some livestock wandering around. So I made jam with my mom from the time I can remember. When the fruit was really ripe and the stone fruit and the berry bushes, and we'd pick them and then come into the kitchen and make this wonderful, fragrant pot of jam, and then put them in these perfect little jars and put them on a shelf. And I always felt that there was something about that was sort of magical to me. And throughout my life, when things were going tough, and you know, they do once in a while, I would make jam. And something about the process of stirring and watching the fruit and smelling it and then putting it in this perfect jar, it was as if you could do that to life, which of course is a little more difficult. But so I just always made it.
Wow, that's interesting. And then so at what point in the story did you decide, okay, I'm going to take these jams I make for your own, you know, personal use and personal comfort and satisfaction and kind of release those into the world?
Well, I had gone to Europe at some point in my 20s and found that people used these wonderful jams on cheese boards. So there was something in my head that thought, cheese and jam should really go together rather than cheese and a pile of grapes. I never thought that was very appealing. And I was lucky enough to live not far from a wonderful store called Formaggio Kitchens in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So when I thought that, you know, making a jam business would really be interesting and kind of fun and allow me an outlet for all these jams that I made anyway. So I made a label. I learned how to do that just looking it up. And I went into the store with my jar of jam and talked to the owner, Isan Gerdal, who had some European jams in his store as well. And I asked him if he would sell them. And he agreed to sell them. And then I had the nerve to ask him if I could use his kitchen, because I knew I needed a commercial kitchen. And he agreed to that as well. So every Sunday, all during the summer, early summer and fall, I made jams. And I think there was something about that wonderful fragrance going into the shop that he enjoyed as well. And so that was really the start. And I did that every summer and I made enough jam to last during the year. So I did that for summers for about, I think, seven years. And then it was written up in a couple of magazines, Food Wine and a Boston magazine. And then the New York Times, Florence Fabricant had a little blurb about the jam. And I began getting offers to sell it in other places.
That is so, like, it happened so organically. You know, That's amazing. Can you talk about, I mean, it happened organically, but obviously a lot of work went into it. Can you talk about maybe a mindset or a motto that helped you achieve that success and keep going for it? And even the boldness to say, like, can I use your kitchen? Everything that kind of swirled into making it happen.
Yeah, I don't know why I was so bold about that. I really was. When I look back on it, it was kind of gutsy. I love problem solving and I love making jam. And when you're in a beginning a small business, there's a problem a day. You know, how do you do the recipe in a way that's going to be last, that the product will have a shelf life? How do you get the fruit? How do you begin to make any kind of a profit, which it can be really elusive in a small business? So they all presented problems. And it was a very different life than my professional life, which was public policy and politics, and it was very different. And so I took each offer as a challenge and thought, kind of curious, how am I going to solve this?
You know, in some of these leadership profiles, we talk quite a bit about managing teams and organizations. And I have no doubt you have many stories to tell there, but I want to dig a little bit in, because this is such a unique entrepreneurial story that really starts with, as Maggie said before, organic roots. And I'm just curious, as I went on your website earlier and was shopping and looking at all the varieties, your combinations are really unique. And I don't know if you want to throw out a couple of your favorites, but I'm curious, was that intentional as you started making and then selling these to really combine flavors together that are beyond what you see on a typical grocery store shelf? Or is that something that just you've always done and it just was part of the story?
Well, it's really interesting. The first time I combined different fruits was when I went into a very elite store in New York, Eli Zabar's in New York. I don't know if you know that store. But I went in and asked them if they would sell my jam. I just drove to New York one day and thought this would be a good place. And I had been making simple products, apricot jam, peach jam. I came up with black and blue kind of early. That was blackberries and blueberries, but the balance had to be right. So I was in the store talking to the wife of the owner, who is a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she said, do you have any combinations? And on the spot, I thought peach would really taste good with ginger. I don't know where that came from. I just thought that would be a really good idea. And then she said, what about apricot? And I grew up with Valencia oranges and I've always loved putting oranges in almost anything. So I said, well, apricot orange. So she ordered those. And that's really the first combined flavors. But now I work often with Joey Wells, who's part of the Whole Foods organization, and he's their flavor person. And he and I work out flavors together, which is the most wonderful thing to do. I love working with him. And it's just kind of great. I know flavors well. I have a pretty good palate. And so the thought of putting different flavors together and making it work is really wonderful. Our latest is cantaloupe peach with black pepper, which is coming out. Maybe this is even a secret, but I'm telling you the secret.
Nice. It sounds amazing.
It's coming out in, we're going to make the first professional big production in late July. So it'll probably be in stores in September.
So nice. Well, we're glad we'll help share the word with retailers then. We love that. I want to talk a little bit about mentorship. And you've talked about, you know, supporting other female entrepreneurs and kind of lifting each other up and supporting one another. Can you talk a bit about mentorship and the role it plays in your business or that it's played in your life to get you where you are?
Yeah, you know, it's really an interesting industry because there's so many people in the specialty food. I'm is the kind of world I know, who have wonderful recipes, or they have a cultural background that allows them to understand a flavor that they would like to share with other people. But how do you do that? And I've had people reach out to me, and I just try to help them solve the problem of the moment. And that some of those relationships have lasted longer than a year, and others kind of suddenly disappear because they found that they couldn't do it. My mentors were really, I don't know if they even realized this, but the two women that have Effie's biscuits, Irene and her colleague, they're amazing. And they helped me all along, because they just kind of come up against a wall and there it is. So you have to try to figure out how to solve it. So reaching out to other people is really important. There's no rule books, you know, there's no guidelines. It's all personal experiences. So it's been a really important part of the work for me.
Do you think, as the specialty food business continues to grow and there are consolidations and big, you know, traditional brands that, you know, will buy smaller brands to try to get into that space, do you think it's becoming harder or easier for someone to start a small specialty food brand like yourself? If they're going to start doing it today, what advice might you give?
That's an interesting question. You know, when I started, it was really 1999. It's quite a long time ago now. The focus wasn't on specialty food to the degree it is now. I didn't think of it as a big business. I thought of it as selling to one store for my Geo Kitchen, and it kind of seeped into other stores. Mm-hmm. And then actually, Whole Foods was a great help in that, because they had a forager who contacted me, and you could apply to one store and then a region. I think the field has gotten more crowded. I don't have any statistics on that, but I know that there are so many jams now. There's so many sauces. There's so many mix-ins for drinks that, you know, it's kind of phenomenal. So I think that if you have a product that you really believe in and you think the flavor is really extraordinary and you want to share it, I think you try it. And if it's really a good product and that niche hasn't been overfilled, you probably have a good chance of getting it into stores, and then it's a matter of seeing it through and solving all those problems along the way.
You mentioned in the magazine, in Whole Foods magazine, the feature that we did there, that you know you have to, you know, have the belief, the passion, and the belief that it can be as big as you want it to be. So you have to have that in yourself. What advice do you have for people when they maybe feel that flagging? I mean, you know, they're hitting a wall, it's not happening, but they do have that belief. They do think there's the niche there for them to go into. Any advice?
You have to be able to sustain it within your own life, because there is a money aspect to it as well. So if you don't have the money and you don't have the ability to gain partnerships, that has to be your own decision. But if you really believe in a product, you can probably find your niche and get some enjoyment out of selling it to one store. I sold it to one store for a long time, and I loved walking in and seeing the jam on the shelf and knowing that other people were going to be tasting it. It was just really, that was a lot of satisfaction. So, you know, it's a personal decision how much you can stay in that. I don't know if it's a wise decision to get into the business because you think you're going to be bought by a big business. That is a little more elusive. And especially when my product in particular is a difficult product to make commercially, because it's all determined, the cooking time is all determined by the fruit. And some have had more sun, some have had more rain, so they're going to have different sugar amounts. But you have to get a certain balance to keep it consistent and also healthy. You can't have a low acid. You have to have high acid. So there's all these kind of guidelines that you have to follow. And that's kind of tricky for a really good small brand, because you know it's easier to put a bunch of sugar in a product and a lot of pectin and have it be easier to make, but it doesn't taste as good. I don't know, if you really believe in your brand and you get a satisfaction out of selling it, it doesn't have to be the biggest product in the country.
I think that's good advice. And like you said, too, it grew from there. Like you were there for a while in that one store and then things happened. So you never know.
I kind of didn't know where I was going. And really, Whole Foods was a great help at that time because they had, as I said, they had a forager and they had the ability for independent people to go into their store. I'm not sure if it has the same arrangement. And I was able to get into one store and then one region and then a second region and then a third. And then I was fortunate enough to be offered a global partnership. So that was quite amazing. Then you have to solve the problem of how to do that. How do you go from, 100 jars to 1,000 jars?
And still maintain the same taste, quality, recipe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure not to, to put in a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so having been doing this for, a fairly long time, if we turn and look at the industry as a whole going forward, any predictions on where do you think things are headed? Do people continue to be focused on specialty food items? Does the variety continue to grow, or do you think it'll reach a saturation point? Any thoughts on the future of your category?
Well, I think there's going to be a market for our category for the foreseeable future. There's a lot of people now that are really enjoying and understanding food, many more than there were 20 years ago. And looking at, and having an international taste to it as well. A lot of people are traveling and so they're open to a specialty food that might be have a source in another country. So that's part of it. I don't see an end to it. But the market itself makes those choices. Somebody who's the buyer has decided that a certain kind of food isn't going to make it. So I don't know. I think there's going to be a long future for it, though. Especially we live in an international world now. It's not just not local.
Let's talk bright spots for you and for the company. So before we wrap up, what is on the horizon for 2023? And as we head into 2024, you told us a sneak peek about this great flavor. What else can we look forward to?
Well, I think I have on my desk, you're going to see it now. We're going to do a little jar of jam, which I'm really excited about. It's just 2 ounces, but it'll be really nice on a cheese board. So that'll be nice, or takeout. So that's very exciting. We're also going to be doing food service size, which means that a market like Whole Foods can take a bag of jam and then make little holders for it for whatever they want. So that could be. We do actually sell quite a few jams to restaurants who use them for cocktails.
Oh, interesting.
There's one in New York that makes a Bloody Mary with our red pepper jelly, which is, I've tried, I have to say, and it's quite good.
Yeah, that might be the idea. Yeah. I write down and go and try myself later. That sounds
amazing. Hey, Todd, next time you're out here, because I'm in Jersey, we'll have to find that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's pure ingredients lends itself to be a good add-in to recipes. So, but right now, those are our two prospects that we're looking into. We're pretty excited about that, as well as the new flavor. And then there'll be another new flavor in the spring. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you about that one. Yeah, that's kind of a secret.
Well, that's fine. You give us one, that's good. And we'll look for this next, the new surprise flavor here in the spring as well. I just love your flavor combinations. And so it's good stuff. Is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, I don't think so. I think we've touched a lot of parts of the business. I think, if you love your product and you really believe in it, you should go for it. It's an interesting industry, and going to the various food shows, you get a lot of support from people, and if you have small numbers of cheerleaders who come by, people who've been brokers or they buy your jams or your whatever your product is, and they cheer you on. It's really wonderful.
That's excellent. I mean, we do now, like in the natural product side of things too. That's the wonderful thing, is how much community there is within the industry. So that is great to hear. And we want to say thank you for coming on, for telling us such an interesting company history and great advice for entrepreneurs out there. Very inspiring. So Bonnie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
Thanks, Bonnie.